Craig and Ann, WMBD. Social media is here to stay. It will always affect the way we communicate now. It will affect legal matters. The state of Illinois became one of the two states now that have passed a law recently that said your boss, your employer, cannot ask for your social media password. For instance, let's say Facebook. That's the most common, I think. To look at what you're up to. It's against the law for the
boss.
Yeah,
but they could very legally create a Facebook page with a personality that they know you'll like, and they can get into your
world. Well, they could
way,
do that.
Right?
Our go-to guy on all of this is Attorney Ambrose McCall. Ambrose, Happy New Year to you. Good to see you.
Happy New Year to you and Dan.
Were you surprised by that law?
I'm surprised that on a couple of fronts. One is that Illinois is usually not on the cutting edge, and you're correct to note there are only two states that have this that cover the employment relationship and the application process, and the other is California. But Illinois is unique in that we do not have a statutory exception right now that allows for an employer to ask an employee for his or her password or account username as part of conducting an employee investigation, let's say in response to complaints of harassment or discrimination. California explicitly has a statutory exception for such activities. Illinois does not.
So, I'm the employer. You and Danny are in some kind of a deal. I'm investigating the two of you guys. It's a real investigation. This is important. I can't look at it. In California, I could, because there's that loophole.
Well, what could happen, though, is still happen in Illinois, is the person who makes the internal complaint of harassment or discrimination, what they could do is print out whatever they see as offensive or screen capture it and submit it as part of their internal complaint. So it doesn't prevent the complaining party from collecting his or her own information and producing it as part of their internal complaint. What it prevents is the employer from asking as part of the investigation the employer applicant for their user account.
And what was the argument to pass this law, that that there still are certain things that people have that is private unto themselves that the employer can't tread upon?
I think there are multiple arguments behind this. One is that the generational divide. Those of us sitting in this room would not have communicated in the fashion that people do today who are under 30 years old. Some of us do, but not to the frequency they do. They don't keep diaries. They don't keep photo albums. It's all online in these social networking sites. So the only thing they know is whether or not they have a public profile or a semi-private, because that's the most I would call it, semi-private profile. So there's that. There's just a different perception of that information and how it's kept. The other is that our legislature had somebody quoted, Representative Ford, a Democrat from Chicago, was quoted as saying this bill is a right to privacy and it sets the agency or any employer up for a lawsuit. So I don't read that as being a real fuzzy and helpful thought behind the law, but I think what it is they're trying to draw a line in the sand and say, okay, certain parts or private, you're going to have to go through the court process, a subpoena, a court order for discovery or a court rule discovery to get that information. They're not going to allow willy-nilly use of it.
But at the same time, and we've talked to you about this issue before, in fact, it may be why we first met you, was I can go on my social network, my Facebook, Twitter, whatever, say bad things about my employer, and my employer cannot really have a recourse against me, right? Is that true?
Well, it's not, it's like a lot of things in this area. It's only partly true. And what's happened is that, and at that time, the way we all met is I was conducting with the Chamber of Commerce some classes on social media for businesses. And the National Labor Relations Board, under Section 7, protects union and non-union employees to conduct what's called concerted activity. They can complain about terms and conditions of employment. And when doing so, they have to look like they're recruiting other people to their cause. It can't just be a personal Dennis Miller rant, even though I and 50 other people would enjoy such a rant personally, but not professionally.
Right.
It looks like you're having to raise an issue of terms and conditions of employment.
But if right now, and a lot of companies do this, they will hire a company to go out and monitor your brand with and monitor social media to see if people are spreading lies about your company, how it's being interpreted. They'll step in and correct the situation. They'll kind of actually market back on using social media. But if part of your brand is being damaged, if there's deceptive or negative comments about your brand and it's coming from within your office, what recourse do you have?
Several different things can happen. I think one of the most interesting recent examples, and it looks trivial at first, is the Donald Trump issue with Miss Pennsylvania. She signed an arbitration agreement. Of course, she didn't look at it closely. And then she tweeted about how the contest was unfair and people committed all kinds of horrible things. She had a demand in arbitration against her, and an arbitrator awarded $5 million against her because she caused the contest to lose a $5 million sponsor. So if, whether it's somebody internal or in a contest or outside, if someone can show there's a connection between what's said that's false and damages, there is potential exposure
wow.
there.
We're talking with Ambrose McCall. He's an attorney who a number of years ago we met, as you said, as a result you were teaching a class through the Chamber of Commerce. And now this conversation keeps getting bigger and more complicated and will continue. I mean, we're not done with this. This is the way this is all going to go. Here's a question I had the other day. This is a story that we told on the air a few weeks ago where somebody I know captured a text conversation. And if you have an iPhone, you can get those little bubbles, you know, you got the little bubbles. And so that whole conversation was recreated or played out on Facebook. So it was a text conversation between person A and person B. And it got nasty, and and person A was upset, so person A put this conversation on the Facebook pages and said, look how terrible person B is, and named person B. And when I was talking to Dan about it, I said, you know, I've always had the assumption that when I'm texting somebody, I have the assumption or presumption that that's a private conversation. Is that wrong of me to think that?
It's, as a general
rule,
I would say it's not something anybody should assume because there's, unlike our ancestors and grandparents, nobody typically ever puts on the legend or the title of their text or emails confidential and personal message. But if somebody is discussing such matters and it's being put out on letter format or text format, they should do that because then if they put on their personal and confidential and somebody discloses it, it's not eavesdropping because it's not a phone call and it's not something where you didn't see what you were saying and the person was saying back to you, and also you didn't condition it beyond saying it was personal and confidential, maybe in the title. Mm-hmm. But if you've done that, there are Illinois tort doctrines. Public disclosure of private facts is one of them, and hypothetically, if a public disclosure was made of private facts and that disclosure intruded on that other person's privacy and would be objectionable to a reasonable person and didn't serve any legitimate concern of the public, it might be tortious conduct under the Illinois doctrine of public disclosure of private facts.
So even just putting the words personal and confidential on any sort of text or document, it could be a document shared through the ether, through social media, does protect you in some regard?
Well, what I'm hypothetically suggesting is that in the land of the Wild West, which is what we're talking about.
We are, absolutely. Yeah.
If you don't put any conditions on your communication, you're basically allowing that person to do whatever he or she wants with that.
So in my case, the story that I told, person A and person B did not do that, did not put this is a private conversation, please don't reprint. So the fact that it was reprinted on Facebook, there's really there's nothing that person can do about that other than be angry.
Well, that's right. And, yeah. And in a unique situation, Mark Zuckerberg's sister found that out over the holidays. She had a family photo that was posted, and she thought it wouldn't be circulated around the world, and
story.
It was.
No kidding. I don't know this story. Really?
Yes. She had a family photo taken and released it only to her people on her semi-private right. site. But what happened is somebody circulated it beyond that point, and even though it was used with the poke function, which means that the image goes away within 24 hours, it already ended up on somebody else's Twitter feed. And
wow,
it was everywhere.
That is so ironic. That's so funny. We'll take a break and come back and talk more about this. You're right, Ambrose. A Wild West kind of thing. Greg and Anna, WMBD. Ambrose McCall is here. He's an attorney friend of ours. We met a few years ago after he was teaching a class about social media through the Chamber of Commerce to businesses, how that were the legalities of it all, and it's exploded now into a conversation that we enjoy having every once in a while with you, Ambrose. And we got the new law in Illinois. Illinois and California says employers can no longer ask for your password or your information to look at your social media.
And now another new law that I didn't know about that's not in Illinois.
Dan doesn't like this one, but a couple of states have done what when it comes to colleges?
Well, what they've done is a parallel version of the employment law, which not only covers current employees but applicants. California and Delaware have each passed laws that prevent educational institutions, specifically public and private post-secondary, so it's after high school, meaning colleges and universities, and their employees and representatives cannot request students, prospective students, which mean applicants, or student groups to disclose a username or password to access their personal social media.
So and right now, recruiters and the people that say yes or no, admissions people they're using that. That's the tool, man.
Well, they are.
But you could go on anyone's Facebook page, right?
Yeah, but you can't have full access. You know, I mean, you can set up a Facebook so that if it's my Facebook and you're my friend, yeah, I can make it so you can't see everything. If I give you my password, you can see everything.
Yeah, but there are enough idiots that just on their Facebook
page,
that is
true,
they show them doing whatever. Come on.
That is true. And that is a point Dan's making there. You could go on. We talked to a guy the other day that works for a technology company, and his job is to protect businesses. He says that he has a fake profile that he puts out there to other people, to the companies that he's trying to protect, just to show them that, look, not everything you see is what it appears
to
be. Yeah.
Yeah, and you're correct, and both of you are, in saying that a business isn't prevented from a public search. It just can't get that specific search for
right.
all the data, as you
But you
indicated.
Control. I mean, you could put up a fictitious person who you know that person would absolutely love, and then befriend them, and then...
No.
You can't do that. Okay.
No, that would be pretexting.
That's entrapment, Danny. What are you, some kind of a criminal over there? What are you doing? I got a question from a listener.
But that would be entrapment then?
Well, I wouldn't say entrapment as much as pretexting. You would be trying to get around the very rule that says you aren't supposed to do that through a virtual being, which is behind it, you.
Well, wait a minute. But most people, but most people who are on their Facebook page are lying about themselves anyway. No.
Yeah, but you're not the one that they wrote the law about.
Well, that's a different question, whether or not it's admissible. Yeah.
Oh, right. So you couldn't do that then, huh?
I would strongly recommend against that, anybody hypothetically considering that.
Dan.
I think they should be allowed to do it.
Here's a question from a listener.
I think anyone who puts anything in the public on Facebook page should pay the consequences for what they do.
If it's in public, yes. What you're saying is if you're trying to friend them to open up the chest to all the drawers.
If I write something on the internet, blog, Facebook, et cetera, is there anything I can do so that it's not plagiarized or passed on as someone else's works or quote? In other words, I'm a blogger, and I'm pretty proud of the way I write. I don't want somebody lifting my idea and passing it off as my own. Well, how do I protect myself?
Well, it happens to us all the time on this show, Greg.
I can't remember.
Okay.
Well, whatever the memories are, the this person sounds like part of the current digital storm over what happened at Instagram. Because once Instagram said that they might use people's photos, then people thought, well, what about Facebook? Are they going to use my text? And, of course, you've given them a license to do a limited use, probably, and one of the 30 pages of the agreement one hasn't read when going into their site.
No, not one person.
But
maybe
you might
have read it.
I have, and there are more licenses than anyone would care to admit. But what people are saying is, can they copyright something on there? Well, the problem with that is that if you're really trying to copyright something on it, I would not use social media as a platform, especially for your first version. Do it separately. Copyright it on the document, make it a PDF, and if you want to refer people to it, use a link.
Yeah. Can you still, this brings up an old-fashioned question, can you still mail stuff to yourself? Remember in the days when people would write, they would write a manuscript or something, and they didn't want to go through the process of copyright, so they would mail it to themselves and leave it unopened. Remember that whole deal? And they'd leave it unopened, put it on a shelf in case anybody ever tried to plagiarize it. They go, aha, there's no way that you wrote this in 1962 because I mailed it to myself in 1961. Can we still do that?
Well,
not that I'm going to. I just thought I was curious. Remember that? You don't even remember that, do you?
It is See? Curious, yeah. But I don't think it would
stand up.
I don't think it would stand up. I don't think it would receive any.
Now, boxes to get rid
one
of
last question, because I know we're running late. But Twitter, because you Twitter and that's out in the ether, you have no control over that, right?
No, because by the very nature of Twitter, you're trying to get followers.
Right, yeah.
So you're asking people.
So right. Slander laws, libel laws, all that applies.
Oh, sure. If you put statements on there that are defamatory, it doesn't matter what media you use. If you cause somebody damage with a false statement, you could be potentially liable for defamation or libel.
It's always fun to talk to you. Well, we have more questions. We'll have you back.
But like you say, the rules are still being written. You're still trying to follow what direction this is going in, right?
Well, other than this new Illinois law, this is law now. Yeah. So, but what we're going to all experience now is how this works.
Yeah. Where do we see the first lawsuit? Let us know when that happens.
Yeah. Sure.
Ambrose McCall, thank you very, very much.